psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson, the voice you trust for the family you love.
I mean, it really takes my breath away when I look back on how quickly those kids grew up. A father is the first man in a little girl's life.
Oh, he's back. He's back.
Well, it'll be a great disappointment to some in the media, I'm sure.
This is Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, along with Ryan Dobson and Luann Crane.
Today we have the pleasure of having two of my three mentors in the studio. And our guest today is Dr. David Noble. He has had a huge, huge impact on my life. I am here largely in part because of his influence on me. He is the president and the founder of Summit Ministries in Manitou Springs, Colorado, which is right outside of Colorado Springs. And It is a pleasure to have you here, Doc.
Thank you very much, and it's my pleasure as well.
Okay, who's the other mentor?
You.
Who are the other
okay,
two?
You are here. My dad, Dr. James Dobson, first and foremost, the largest impact in my life, Dr. David Noble, and then Joe White, who is all of our friend. That would be the three biggest influences on me.
Well, I agree completely with Ryan. David, we're just so pleased to have you here again. You and I have been friends for many, many years, and I've appreciated so much what you're doing, not only for the tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of students that you have trained and you have mentored, if you will, many of whom are now grown and in positions of authority, but for what contribution you made to my family, our family, in the person of Ryan Dobson. There's no way to put into words how I feel about you and the work you do.
Well, you've been a great influence on us too, let me tell you. And you took a chance on Summit Ministries many, many years ago because in 1989, we were struggling, and you said, let's do it, and we went on the air. I remember we went on for 2 days, in fact, and we had so much response, Dr. Dobson. We had calls from all over the world. I had to hire 7 secretaries just to take care of the phones, and I don't know. And you got most of the phone calls, too, I've been told.
We took a lot of them.
You took a lot
sure
of
did.
Them. And we just it just took off from there. This was in 1989, and it hasn't been the same since.
Ryan, what year were you there?
87.
Now, on our program 2 or 3 weeks ago, you had spoken to the Summit Ministry students. You missed the day here.
That's right.
And came back raving about it again.
Yes.
After all these years.
Yep.
And a lot of people who are listening to us now didn't hear that broadcast.
They should go back and listen.
Tell us about your experience and why it made such an impact on you.
Well, we've come full circle. I now teach there every week all summer long for 8 sessions. And I get to give back, which is – it was such an honor to be called last year.
I took a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, you took a chance.
I did.
This time.
But I was so surprised and still so, so honored to be counted among the professors that get to speak to the kids. I wasn't a bad kid in high school. I wasn't heading in a downward spiral, but I really wasn't heading anywhere in particular. I work construction, which is a great job. I have nothing wrong with that. I rode a skateboard, but I didn't really see beyond the end of my nose. My world was very, very small. I had a good group of friends. I had a job. I had no aspirations of going to college. I really wasn't a good student. I struggled in school, and the thought of going to what you called, it's kind of like summer school, but you'll like it. I still keep trying to come up with a description for kids like me of saying, I promise you'll like it. If you have a desire to learn and to be smarter and to just that hunger to know something else, there's something bigger than me out there.
Well, know the world. We try to tell these young people, you might be 16 or 17, and most of our students are really 18 or 19, but our minimum is 16. But we tell our 16-year-olds, if you listen for 2 weeks, you will understand the world.
Yep.
You might not think you can. You're young. But by the time we finish analyzing what makes the world tick, you will understand what's going on in the world today.
Well, it's an off told story now, because we've been talking about it ever since. But Ryan did not want to go to the Summit
That's
Ministry.
That's right. And I had to do something about that.
I bribed him to
No, bribery means you get something for going. You were about to take something away for not going. First, I was 16 years old when you told me about this amazing camp that's just like summer school, except we think you're going to like it. And I was like, not a chance. I'm not wasting my summer to go to some other place. At 17, you said, listen, you have a car. It's a nice car. You enjoy your car. If you want to keep it, go to camp. If you'd like us to sell it tomorrow, don't go to camp.
Well, that's bribery in reverse. Yeah. It's the same thing. You had something to gain by going. And so we packed you up and you went. You protested the whole way, like every 17-year-old would do, or most would. And he called me, David, 3 days after he got here and said, honestly, this is a quote, this is the best thing that ever happened to me. What occurred besides a bunch of pretty girls that were there?
Well, that was an important factor for me at the time. You know what? I think my eyes were opened. I think it was that kind of light bulb over the head moment of there is so much more out there. All the things that you had talked about that honestly – at that age and at that maturity level for me didn't seem applicable to my life.
You really needed the reinforcement of an outside source.
Right.
And that's why you came alongside of us. And David, I was looking for exactly what he's talking about. I was looking for a program that would expand his world and open his eyes. Mm-hmm. And you and I had met at the Council for National Policy and became acquainted. And I became convinced that you were what I was looking for. And really, the other mentor that he talks about, Joe White, who is the president of the Kanakuk and Kanakomo camps, we sent him there that summer too, and those two things turned his life upside down. And again, my hat is off to you, brother.
Well, again, if they're looking to have some horizon out there, then the Summit Ministries is really the place to go, especially if they're thinking of going on to college.
That's right. You know, Dad, I don't know if I've said this to you. I talk to the kids about this because I know every now and then you get the protest kids that are there. I heard you talk about this. My parents heard your dad talk about this, and I'm here because of you, and I don't want to be here. And I say, I understand what was happening in my life at that time. Was essentially a crisis of faith, because when political subjects would come up, you've got people that are very excitable and excited, and they spout what they call facts, and I didn't really have answers. And they seemed to be making sense, and I didn't have an answer for that. And it made me question the things you were talking about. And then if I questioned that, what else have you taught me about? Well, you've taught me about Jesus my whole life. Is that wrong too? And the process was becoming, I don't want to lose my family, my faith, my political views, everything else by trying to argue with someone that seems to be a whole lot smarter than me. So I'm just not going to talk about anything.
And all right. What you're saying, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but what you're saying is so relevant to many, many young people today.
I think so.
Because there is that time, 17, 18, 19, where you ought to be asking the question, is this true or is this just what I was taught? Mm-hmm. And therefore, there needs to be a validation that comes along. And that's exactly what the Summit Ministry did for Ryan and, like I said, hundreds of thousands of other young people.
I think you're right. I think that if they have at least a background in some of the materials that we cover, and we cover a lot, but a lot of the things are things that you have covered and the parents have covered, but they just need to hear it from someone else.
That's exactly right. When I called you 3 days into it, I called because I had gotten my family back, I had gotten my faith back and my belief system, so that all the things that you had been teaching me that had been questioned and attacked from all other sides, it was, you were right. My dad was right. He was right about this. He is right about my faith. He was right about politics. And I can now engage and talk to people about my faith, about conservative issues. It gave me that freedom of it was that weight off of my shoulder. This stuff is right. This is all true, and I got my identity back.
What do you think we were doing at home? You can be sure we were on our knees. David, let's go to the basics about the Summit Ministry. It started in the early 60s.
Early 60s, that's right. This is my 48th summer this summer.
Wow. In fact, you have a number of campuses now.
We have campuses here in the Manitou Springs area. We have a campus in Tennessee at Bryan College. We have one this year in Wisconsin. By the way, we also have a summit in New Zealand, Australia, and South Africa. Mm-hmm. So we have branched out since those early days.
All right. Now, talk about the curriculum. What happens there? What is it that turns these kids on? Because I've never heard one that said he didn't love it, and I've talked to a lot of them.
I think one of the secrets, Dr. Dobson, is that for many Christian young people, they think Christianity is just 2 hours on Sunday morning, and that's it. When they come to the summit, they realize that Christianity is really 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. It's a whole life. And we wrap this around the concept that a Christian worldview involves everything in one's life. And we divide it up into a number of categories, but basically when everything is said and done, it's just the way we live from day to day.
It comes down to theology, philosophy, ethics, biology, psychology, sociology, economics, politics, law, history, evolution, and creation. And many other things, current events, things that are going on, and shows the linkage between all of them.
That's right.
Which is a biblical connection.
And we settle them in their Christian perspective first. They need to know that Christianity has a worldview, because basically what they're going to be facing when they get off to their college or their university is a foreign worldview. Now, they're not Christian, I can tell you that.
That is, in fact, your primary purpose, which is to get those young people ready for the kind of experiences they're going to have on colleges and university campuses.
That really is the essence of our program. We call it preparation. You don't send someone to war without preparing them for the battle. And I hope that some of our parents that are listening right now realize that when they send their young people off to our institutions of what we call higher education, that is a battleground. As you wrote, that way back in the 90s, I remember, children at risk. Well, it hasn't changed them. In fact, it's worse now than it was when you wrote
that book. What happens to them on campus?
They run into professors, and of course these professors are very smart. I mean, but they're 50 years of age too, and they're only 17, 18, and 19 years of age. So they need to realize that they're not going to have everything that that professor has right there. I think what we convince them is that there's material out there. There are resources there that they can go to. They might not have all the answers right there at that particular time, but there are answers there, and we direct them to those particular areas, and I think that's one of our strengths.
And you give them answers to the questions that are raised in their minds.
We certainly
so
do.
So that they're not out to sea without a life raft.
What we do, I think, is when we have, say, 12 teachers in a particular session over these two-week period, these teachers nearly reach them in the areas that are very, you know, that concern them a whole lot. So some of them come in and they're not interested in science, for example, but they're interested in maybe history or politics or whatever. But in that two-week period of time, we cover all those areas. So obviously, if they're interested in science, we say, now look, evolution, for example, let's just take that, you brought it up. So evolution is not science. Evolution is a philosophy of science. And then we show them why that's the case. It's not science, hasn't been proved scientifically. The scientific method hasn't proven evolution. It's a philosophy of science. But then creation, quote unquote, is a philosophy of science as well. And by the time they're finished, we give them great resources. I can give them 50 books right off the bat if they want to read one a week. I tell them, when you kids leave here, we want you to read about a book a week.
Ryan, you came home just bubbling over with this stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, any subject that came up, you had information about
it. I still have every single book I got at Summit, not just that first session, but the second time I came back. And then when I lived in the cottages across the street, I got a whole library full of books and brought them all through college. I mean, I had I had resources. It's exactly what he says. I had resources where when any subject came up, I knew I could find the answer. And if I couldn't find the answer, I called Doc. I've called him 100 times and said, hey, I've got a professor and she's mentioning this guy. Oh, ho, ho. I know who that is. Listen, that I remember I had a professor teaching me, I want to say it was Edmund Burke. And you said, well, that guy gave himself a doctorate. I said, what do you mean? And he said, self-taught. And I came back in the next day and I said, do you realize he gave himself a doctorate? Big red face. Because she did. She knew it. And I said, I could give myself a doctorate. But I had the resources where I knew I could find answers. I knew there was truth there. It just had to be found.
David, speaking of curriculum, you have written a big book on understanding the times, the religious worldview of our day, and the search for truth. I understand that that book has provided the curriculum for the study of worldview in 1,000 high schools.
I would say that's pretty close. I don't know the exact number, but it's in that area. And by the way, it's also been formatted for the homeschool movement as well.
Your title there, Understanding the Times, you know what that reminds me of? The sons of Issachar understood the times and knew what to do.
That's where we head. We go to 1 Chronicles 12:32. The tribe of Issachar was a tiny tribe, only 200 leaders in that tribe, but yet they were the leaders of Israel because they had two things going for them. A, they understood the times in which they lived, and B, they knew what Israel ought to do. And so we're trying to tell our young people, look, you can understand the times, and by the time you understand the times, you'll know what you need to do.
Ryan, when you're speaking this summer, you go on for a couple of hours with Q&A. Yeah, they can ask anything of you they want to.
That's right. They do a Q&A every single night at 6 o'clock. They call it the porch side chat. It's on the porch of the hotel where it's located in. But I go back. I'll be back tomorrow at lunchtime and just say, anything you want to talk about, we'll talk about. You ask me any question, I'll give you my opinion. And we'll talk about it. And the kids, they fall in love with it. I see them on Facebook. I see them online. Oh, I was there at Summit and you said this. And man, I had a kid post a question to me on Facebook and said, you know, I've had a friend that's saying these things, but I know I learned something different at Summit. Can you help me out? And I said, of course I can help you out. And wrote him back and we had a big, long exchange. And it's exactly what took place for me at Summit, just in a different era.
You have a radio ministry on the internet. Mm-hmm. You're on 5 days a week. And you're dealing with some of those same issues that you learned and now speak about across the country.
Every single week. Actually, some ministry sponsors Wednesday. We have Worldview Wednesdays, and we talk about Christian worldview. We have speakers from Summit. I tell you what, it's a great, great day. You have such intelligent people. The professors that speak there come on my radio program and get to talk about worldview.
The target age is
16 and above.
But primarily 17 and 18.
Most of them are juniors and seniors in high school going to college. But this, like this first session this year, 3/4 of the student body, all college kids.
David, can you quote your mission statement?
Well, the essence of our mission statement is to prepare the next generation for Christian leadership.
That's the essence of what you're
That's the essence of what we're seeking to do. We're looking for Christian leaders. But what's difficult is when we bring these young people on, and we find out that they're just losing their walk with the Lord, and they're really having a hard time establishing their faith because they're being bombarded in their schools. So we feel that we better do something about that as well.
And the basis for everything you do is the Scripture.
We call it the biblical Christian worldview. Well, you can argue that the Bible doesn't have a worldview. But we say, look, in all the areas that we're concerned about, the basic areas where young people lose their way, we feel that the Bible is pretty straight on.
But Ryan, going back to your experience there, you dedicated your first book to Dr. David Noble, who's here with us.
I spelled his name wrong, too. He never told me. Yeah, I did. You know, I wrote Be Intolerant, which is the defense of truth, because of my time spent at Summit Ministries.
Explain again what you mean by be intolerant, because that offends some people. Oh, they think intolerance is the worst thing that ever happened to anybody.
Yes, don't I know. I've had lots and lots of angry people just on that title. I've had speaking events canceled because I wrote a book called Be Intolerant. And the guy that petitioned to kick me off the bill said, I haven't read the book. I don't have any idea what's in it. I don't like the title. I don't like this guy. But there are the whole title is Be Intolerant, because some things are just stupid. which I thought was funny when I wrote it. But there are some dumb things out there saying that all roads lead to heaven and just choose your own path and everybody is right in their own belief system is not correct. But we teach kids that every day. It doesn't matter what you do, where you go, as long as you sincerely believe something, it's going to be okay. And it's disastrous for kids.
Postmodernists, the people who really have no foundation in truth and can kind of cobble it together from a lot of different points of view, live with contradiction very easily. Now, I don't mean this in a political way. I'm talking about Hillary Clinton from the perspective of what she believes. She can say, I've given my entire life to children. Children's what I care about most. I am dedicated to children. Her book was entitled It Takes a Village, which means everybody's going to influence the kids and so on. She believes that she is committed to children, and yet she supported partial birth abortion and abortion itself and the killing of babies. How do you live with that contradiction? Well, if you come from a postmodern humanistic viewpoint, that's what you come up with.
And we handle it at the summit. And by the way, their key voice until last year, he passed away last year, was Richard Rorty. And Richard Rorty said that truth for him is whatever his fellow intellectuals allow him to get away with. Well, I'll tell you what, if that's your standard of truth, you can just about get away with anything.
It'll wobble all over the place.
And he did. But he was a magnificent writer. That was his problem. He was just... it was a privilege to read Richard Rorty. I just wish that he had come to find Christ. But and incidentally, the one that has really left his atheism, he was a total atheist to his death last year, but the one that left his atheism just a few years ago was Dr. Anthony Flew, as you'll recall, and he just passed away just a few months ago. He never did find Christ, but he left his atheism. And he was very interested in the resurrection of Jesus. And I was always thinking, boy, if he had just lived a little longer, he might have come to the realization that Jesus really did come forth from the grave.
Well, truth is unity. And when you get it right, is harmony between those factors. And they don't contradict each other. David, we need to let everybody know what they're going to discover when they arrive at the Summit Ministry, because these kids are housed in an old hotel. How old is it? I mean, it's got to have gone way, way back.
Built in 1893.
Unbelievable. And you have tried to raise the money to build a new facility for these students over and over again, and the kids wouldn't let you. They love that place.
Every time I mention that we might go out and build something here or something there or have a new campus, they won't hear about it. It just takes 3 or 4 days before they fall in love with that old building.
Why? I mean,
it's just got nuance. It's got nuance that I can't explain. Ryan, I don't think, can explain it. It's just something that
it's character. And it's all part of that program. It's all part of the package. I don't think it would be the same anywhere else. And it wouldn't be for me. It's why I like going back there. You know, I can remember going up and down the stairs and, you know, the creeks and, you know, all those types of things. They've updated it. They've repainted it. It looks fantastic. And it's true. The kids love it.
I remember when you looked. We were outside, standing outside, and you looked at that old building, and I remember you saying to me, you know what? I think you use every square inch of that place, don't you? And I thought to myself, we certainly do.
How many young people do you bring for each session?
The maximum is 180. We can handle 90 guys and 90 gals. And we have 8 sessions this summer, and we have 2 in Tennessee and 1 in Wisconsin. So, and in Tennessee, we can handle up to 400. Wisconsin, we could handle up to 600.
Well, this is a 2-week program with room and board, and it's very affordable. David, I thank God for the Summit Ministry. Just keep on doing what you're doing. Ryan, if parents or students want more information, where can they get it?
Our website, myfamilytalk.com. We're going to have links there to your organization. And you've got spaces available this summer, right? If there's a parent right now saying, you know what, I love my kid. He seems to be in a position like Ryan was. If you're thinking that, you can send your kids this summer, right?
Yes, you can. But just remember that we have a few sessions already full and the others are filling up. So they need to contact us quite quickly.
And you can find all the information on our website, myfamilytalk.com.
Mm. Well, David, thank you so much for being our guest again. We're going to do this every 2 or 3 years because we feel so strongly about the Summit Ministry. And we want, as a new generation begins to come through the adolescent years, we want the parents to know and be reminded that this program is available because we believe in it. We believe in you. We believe in the scripture that you teach. And I'm thankful again for what you have done for so many people, including us.
And I'm thankful just not just to Ryan and what he's helping us with, but the way you have come behind us and have given us good publicity. And many of these students, Dr. Dobson, are your students. They are out there. They tell me that their parents heard you years ago. I get letters from parents all the time that tell me, I heard Dr. Dobson talk about the Summit when you were only 3 years of age, and I said then, you're going to the Summit. And so they're your kids.
That's why I've got a lot of young people mad at me who are on their way to a summer camp and don't want to be there. Just hang on.
Yeah,
they
right.
don't go home once you get them there, do they?
Very few leave after, what, Wednesday, I guess.
That's right.
If they can't, some of them just really can't take it, right, Ryan, but most of them, they stay.
Well, God's blessings to you. Give our regards to your wife, Alice, and the rest of your team.
Thank you very much, and thank you for this opportunity to be here.